The second wife of Orlando shooter Omar Mateen has become a focus of the FBI's investigation into Sunday's attack on the Pulse nightclub. And now NPR has confirmed that a grand jury has been convened to look into whether Noor Salman should be charged in connection with the shooting. NPR's counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston has been following all of this. Dina, what's the latest?
Well, law enforcement officials have been looking at inconsistencies in Noor Salman's story. She told investigators, for example, that she tried to talk her husband out of the attack, but then she said she didn't know the attack was going to happen. She had gone with her husband to buy ammunition just days before the attacks, but she didn't report it. And then she said that she had visited the Pulse nightclub with Omar Mateen, but she said she didn't know it was to case the club for an attack. Now officials tell us they don't think that she's a co-conspirator, but they are questioning how much she knew before the attack happened.
It's interesting you say that because there were reports that she visited the club and then knew that he was going to the club on Saturday and tried to stop him. So there's all sorts of reporting around there. What does this mean that a grand jury is looking into this?
Well, grand juries are secret, but our sources say one was convened a couple of days ago. That means that that doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to be charged or that she's seen as a co-conspirator, but it does mean that the FBI thinks it has information that's problematic or potentially criminal. Now, threatening charges is a very common tactic in interrogations, so this might also be part of a bid to get the wife to be more forthcoming. Again, though, it's meaningful that a grand jury is looking at this, and while she is cooperating with officials and they say she has been very helpful, the question the grand jury is looking at is whether she knew enough before the attack happened that she should have called authorities.
And Dina, just to be clear, there are ethical questions, moral questions, but what are the legal questions? I mean, is there a law about telling someone if you think there is a potential attack?
Well, there's gray area here. Mm-hmm. It's not very black and white. But basically, what happens is she could be charged for something like not telling authorities that she knew a felony was going to be committed. Mm-hmm. It depends on the grand jury. It depends on the evidence they have. But that could be potentially something that she'd be charged with. But again, we don't know that charges are coming. We just know that a grand jury is looking at this.
And Dina, there's also reporting that the shooter called a local television producer while the attack was going on. Now, we know he did dial 911, but this is a local television producer. What do we know there?
Well, he dialed 911 several times, and we know that a 911 dispatcher actually phoned him back one time, too. And we also know from witnesses who were interviewed at the hospital that Mateen had made a number of phone calls while the attack was underway. You'll recall that the shooting started around 2 a.m., and then police didn't break into the building until 3 hours later, around 5 a.m. And during that time, we know from FBI Director James Comey that Mateen had made some phone calls to 911. And witnesses said that they overheard a phone call in which he said he was doing this because of American bombing. And these are his words, apparently, of my country, American bombing of my country. Investigators used to think that meant he had a co-conspirator. Now they think that might have been the call to this television producer or possibly to a friend to say goodbye. This is all information they're trying to piece together to try to get some sort of timeline.
And watching as they do that, NPR counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston. Dina, thank you.
You're welcome.